Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, and welcome to the iOS show on the British Tech Network. I'm Paul Wheatley, and with me is a fantastic panel. Not going to go so far as to say experts or industry leading in any way, but they're still a fantastic panel. And I'm sure they would agree with me. So I'm going to start off in the far reaches of outside Scotland. And Mr. Streak Machine. Robert, how are you?
Hello, Paul. I'm quite fine, thank you.
Good, good. You had a good day?
Pretty good, yes. I've been doll rumpled on my site, so it's been crazy town here for a little while.
You've done what?
Jim Dalrymple, he linked to an article I wrote on my site, so I had a few thousand unexpected visitors. So yeah.
Oh, that's a good problem.
It's very pleasant. It's also very shocking, and I'm now desperately trying to find something else to write about to keep interest up while they're looking at me.
Yeah, because you probably get quite a few RSS links.
Quite a few.
That, so yeah, all good. Next in the list is Ruddy. How are you doing today, sir?
Hello, Paul. I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I've had a dismal day at work. It was horrible. It was like a living hell. But now I'm here in a podcast and full of enthusiasm, Paul. You'll be glad to know.
That's good. That's good.
I'm
good
like a prism radiating a broad spectrum of enthusiasm in every direction, as I'm sure you can tell by my tone of voice.
It's certainly it's better that you're emanating that than what you were last time.
I've emanated worse things.
Yes, indeed. And Ian, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you. Yes,
second podcast this week with you.
Yeah, it's every night of the week, nearly. No, not quite. But yes, it's been a long day. I've been traveling a lot, and I don't know what it is about travel. You know, you spend 6 hours on a train, and you get home, and you're absolutely knackered, despite the fact you've been sitting down all day.
Were you in London?
No, not that far. Just about halfway in back.
Ah, right. Okay. Cool. Awesome. Right. Well, we have some news. Well, we don't have some news. We have some rumors, as is the case always with Apple stuff, particularly being the WWDC. there's a question here. Ian, have you just swallowed your microphone?
That must be a yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Am I sounding a bit funny?
No. You sounded all right to me. Roddy was just curious as if you swallowed your microphone. Anyway, WWDC being next week, the rumors are coming thick and fast. The first one was kind of kicked off by Mr. Tim Cook, or Tim as we like to call him, being on All Things D. Was it last week he was on All Things D? Was it earlier on this week? I can't remember. The bank holidays have completely knocked me off in weeks.
Yeah, it's weird.
I can't remember. Anyway, recently, Tim Cook was on All Things D, and he kind of suggested that there would be some kind of Facebook integration coming soon. And then everybody's jumped on that to assume it's part of iOS 6. Gentlemen, discuss.
It's interesting you say he was on All Things D, because I completely missed that. I know that the All Things D, the big All Things D recently, has been that they uploaded a pile of old Steve videos.
Yes.
Which I trawled through a couple of them, but I had no idea about the Tim video. So if during the podcast, if you know where I can find that, let me know. Oh, no, you're just going to say look on All Things D, aren't you?
I think that is where I found it. Actually, I saw a shortened version. It was only about 50 minutes, and basically it was the highlights more than anything else. But unfortunately, the highlights didn't include anything about the Facebook leak, if you want to call it that. But I mean, from what I could tell... from other people kind of leaking the information, MG Siegler, for example, he kind of suggested that it's just going to be almost identical to Twitter. Now, we did discuss this last time, and there was a general consensus that we didn't think it was going to happen, but it's now looking as if it's possible.
I think if I cast my mind back to Apple rumors of yesteryear, was there not a sort of impasse between Steve and Mark Zuckerberg Facebook integration that they were kind of, I was going to say facing off against each other, but that's like a really bad pun because it's Facebook and I said face off.
Yeah, they were obviously booking almost off against like each other.
And also, so, I don't imagine that's going to be too much of a face off. I mean, they're not exactly, you know, godlike build characters, you know. Can't really imagine them kind of Zeus on the top of a mountain, Steve Jobs' head. I don't know. That's a really odd image I've just got in my head there, actually.
Like Nicolas Cage and John Travolta swapping faces. I can't even say the word swapping.
Dear Lord, now I got weird images in my head.
It really is an enduring image. But yeah, so I guess that Tim has somehow managed to work his way around that. I know that Facebook were very guarded about what they were, how they were letting Apple tap in. And I think that also, on a related topic, ties into the ping thing as well. And I don't want to go off on a massive tangent. I suppose it's still social networking embedded in iOS. But with ping, I read the other day that it was thought broadly that the lack of Facebook integration kind of killed ping. So, you know, I had limited Twitter integration, no Facebook integration, and I believe that the mighty Tim is thinking of killing ping. So it might be ping out and Facebook in for iOS 6.
Well, I mean, there's an argument around that in that ping is poo.
That's very true. Very true.
Ping pongs.
Well, it is. I don't know. We're kind of disappearing off the Facebook topic here a little bit. But yeah, I never got ping. I joined up, I think. Maybe I followed yourself, Roddy. I can't remember if I followed you, Ian. Maybe like Phil Schiller and a couple other Apple guys. And I used it for about half an hour and that was it. And that's half an hour culminated over a 3-month period or something.
That's half an hour of your life you'll never get back, Paul.
I know. I think the worst thing was that I was very concerned about people realizing my rather, shall we say, eclectic music taste. I didn't really want to share that.
Yeah, it just did seem there were a lot of people I sort of vaguely knew that had been pulled in from Twitter, and I just thought, I barely know these people. I certainly don't need to know what they're listening to. And when I did see what they were listening to, it was rubbish. By rubbish, I mean it was actually probably pretty good, not the crap I listen to all the time.
I was going to say, based on your, I can't remember who it was, the sound machine?
I don't know.
No, you were talking about
Gloria Estefan.
Gloria Estefan. Yeah, that's it. Yes, yes.
It's still on there. It's working. So if they do stick Facebook in there, then are we just going to see it in the same kind of share sheets? You know, if you're in photo.app or something, you just go to, you press the share button, it's going to have Twitter there, it's going to have Facebook there. You're going to log in once for Facebook on your phone?
Yeah, I think that's the general idea. I quite like the idea, and I did read this, and I forgot to put a source for this little thing here, but I quite like the idea of liking apps in the App Store. So you could actually like broadcast onto your Facebook timeline to say that you liked a particular app, which is a nice way to generate more sales for that app, I suppose.
Yeah, it can't be worse when it's already out. I mean, the App Store is pretty much a big mess when it comes to reviews and all that stuff.
I suppose
There isn't a social aspect to the App Store, so having something that you could share with your friends really easily would be really good. Although, you know, you'd think they'd do that for Twitter as well if they were going to do that.
Yeah, tweet about this app or something like that. Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I did see something around that, but with all these things, it's rumors. You never know.
It would be nice. I mean, I don't really use Facebook much, more of a Twitter person myself, but when I do use the Facebook app, it's crashy, it's slow, and I know it's not going to replace the Facebook app, but it'd be nice to, when I do interact with Facebook, to be able to do it a little bit more quickly and natively and hopefully reliably.
Not sucky.
Yeah, I was wondering if they might do something like integrate the iCloud photo stream with Facebook.
Oh, God, no. Is this the photo stream that transmits all the stuff I don't want to go to my Mac onto my Mac immediately?
Absolutely.
Oh, God, delete. And you couldn't even delete it up until about a month ago or something.
Yeah.
Oh, the horror that photo stream had in it.
Especially, well, I use photo streams automatically linked straight up to my Apple TV in the living room. which just... Switch that off. It'd be nice for it to have a way to kind of say, once you've taken the photo, and I know it wouldn't be very Apple because it wouldn't be a nice user interface, but as soon as the photograph's taken, yes or no, do you want this in your stream? I don't know, that would be a bit clunky and it wouldn't be very Apple,
or maybe it could automatically sync with Facebook, but they'd all be like completely private and you can optionally switch them on or dump them or something. Just something to reduce the amount of friction between taking the photo and get it on Facebook, because a lot of people just put all their photos on Facebook, it seems.
Yeah, but that would require Facebook to have a default setting as opt out, which is just not in Facebook's.
I do like the idea of there being one less step in me posting a duck face photograph on Facebook. That's
I don't like the idea of there being one less step for that, Roddy. I want that to be as hard as possible for you.
Duck face.
And I'm not even on Facebook. I just think that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
We want your duck face photo on Facebook. It's what Facebook is lacking. I tell you, the shares in Facebook would skyrocket, Ian, if your duck face was on there.
I'm not.
So maybe that's what's holding
advice
it back.
Oh. Not taking investment advice from you either, Roddy. Sorry.
What if the Safari browser had some kind of link through to Facebook, so you actually had a link, a like button for just random websites that didn't have any Facebook integration beforehand, actually allowing that out onto the web through the Safari browser?
That sounds bloody dangerous.
I agree. That's
one that disables itself when you're using private browsing, presumably.
that is very true, yes.
Obviously, for your online banking and things, I mean, not anything seedy.
Of course, yes.
Or mildly stimulating. A little natural mobile frisson of excitement in your hand there. I'm talking about the phone.
But I don't know. I think there's maybe an argument for that. Not necessarily posting absolutely every website you go onto, because I agree that may be somewhat controversial. But at least if there was just a like button up in the top right hand corner, so if you went on to, I don't know, you found something, a very similar kind of Pinterest type thing, where you could see a product that you like, and it's maybe Facebook getting in that Pinterest market. I see a particular T-shirt I like on Last Exit to Nowhere, and I can like that straight from within Safari.
Paul, are you on Pinterest?
No, I'm not on Pinterest. Oh, no, I am, actually. Sorry, I am.
Pinterest is for girls, Paul.
Well, actually, and I'm going to tell you...
And soccer moms.
The big reveal from Paul here.
I'm just checking out your account to see what you've got on it.
We're your friends. You can tell us. It's okay.
I opened up a Pinterest account when it was invite only, because my other half, we're getting married in September, and my other half wanted an access to Pinterest account, and I got the invite first. She signed up using my email address, so technically I have a Pinterest account. But then about 2 days later, she got her invite through, so she opened up her own one. So my one probably does have maybe half a dozen photos on it relating to wedding cakes, invites, or other related topics. So technically, I'm being honest here, and I didn't have to, because it technically wasn't my account, but being all honest and open, transparent and all that.
I think given the circumstances, Paul, I should congratulate you before ripping you to shreds over having a Pinterest account.
Yeah, you probably should, actually. It's more than likely hacked, because it probably had the same password as my LinkedIn, so... Anyway, have we done Facebook to death here? Can we move on?
I had one more thought on that, which was maybe around, you know, because what all the big brands seem to want you to do is interact with them through Facebook. So the question for me would be, well, how could you encourage that interaction through an iOS device? And maybe it would be something like iAds, where instead of taking you to a website when you tap on an iAd or something like that, it would give you some kind of Facebook interaction instead. And make that a bit more seamless. I don't know.
That's not a bad idea. That does assume... I honestly have never seen an iAd in the wild, though.
True.
I mean, I saw them when Mr. Jobs was proposing them, and I actually really liked the idea. The one that he showed, I probably would interact with, but I have never, ever seen one in the wild. Unless anybody can tell me where one is.
I've seen a couple, mostly it's kind of friends I know who are developers, and they've stuck an iAd on so that they can perhaps make a bit of money off a free app. That's about it.
I have images of David Attenborough now sort of sneaking through the jungle looking for an iAd in its native habitat.
So of course,
just being silly, Paul.
Of course.
But there was something about that at All Things D as well. There was definitely a hint drop there that iAd was going to continue, was going to still be a thing. Because, you know, given, as we've said, you know, it hasn't been a big thing, we haven't seen them, you do wonder what they're doing with it.
Yeah. On iOS 6 generally, do we know it's going to be called iOS 6? Has that actually been officially announced?
I heard it was going to be called Electric Mavis. I got that from Digitimes, who are a reputable source.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently it's codenamed Sundance, so I'm not really sure where they're getting that from.
Now I'm getting weird images here of like people dancing in the sunset and like smoke signals and stuff. And I don't know, that's...
I don't know, I think that's possibly better than some of the other suggestions out there.
That's true.
So will it be iOS 6 or will it be the new iOS?
I think it may... Why don't you think first, Ian, and then I'll think.
Okay, I'll think. You can think in a minute. I think it'll still be iOS 6 because fundamentally, you know, we've got 10.8, Mountain Lion on Horizon on the Mac. We know that's happening. It's too early to do a kind of integration thing, but I think, you know, another couple of versions of iOS and they may be looking at one operating system for everything. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of come up with a new naming scheme for the new unified operating system, not least because they've run out of big cats to name macOS after.
Yeah, they are kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. It's going to be domestic log here next.
Yeah. Main Coon or something like that.
But I mean, they completely changed the format of the naming convention for iPad. So this is maybe of all the rumors, and in fact, that's not even a rumor. That's just something I invented. It's possibly one of the minor ones, but so the general consensus is going to be iOS 6. I think.
Well, the other thing I could see would be something like iOS 12 or 13, and you know, possibly more like an iWork style numbering system. Because after a while, the versions do get a bit boring, and it's easier to just refer to it by year.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. What about this mapping technology that's coming out for iOS?
Well, it's just been gazumped by Google, hasn't it? Who have said, we've got this too. Or in fact, yeah. They haven't said to. So we've got 3D mapping. You can't have it yet, but we've got it. Which is conveniently a week before Apple presumably unveil their 3D mapping thing. Yeah. So Google have just had to go and get their foot in the door first, haven't they?
Well, I think that's possibly because they'd have been NDA'd, because Apple will have told them that they're not going to renew the contract. So they'll have been NDA'd to say anything. And this is as good as breaking the NDA without actually breaking the NDA.
It's like breaking the law. But it is breaking laws.
What? It's like breaking the law, but not, because they haven't said anything about the fact that they're not going to be in the iPhone anymore. But they've kind of suggested that, well, look over here at this shiny thing.
Those cheeky corporate behemoths.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really see the working case for these 3D mapping things. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if they could just kind of... Street View is nice. Maybe a little bit polished version of Street View. I'm not sure I need 3D mapping.
Yeah, but you do have to consider that it might just be being rolled out as a competitive thing. They might just want to put it on Android so that they can say, you've got 3D maps on iOS. Hey, we've got them too on Android. Why? What? Yeah, it's just as good.
It's just as good that you'll never use it, but it's
yeah,
here.
Yeah, well, it's just as good. It'll be out in Android 5 next year, and 2 years from now, there'll be 6% market penetration, and, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm sure the 5 people again, who yeah. have it will be very happy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fighting talk.
Well, actually,
one little anecdote, Paul, about mapping and Google Maps and 3D maps is that when I first saw a Google Street View car, I was in Glasgow standing at a window, and it was a little bit away. There was a bowling green between me and it. A bowling green's where you play bowls, for those who don't know what bowling green is. And I went, wow, there's a Google Street View car. And it was only seconds later that I realized I was standing completely naked in the window. Mercifully, I did check, and you can't, because it was a little bit back and there was a little bit of glare, you can't actually see. But now with 3D maps, you'll be able to get just that 45-degree angle needed to see into the window and see my junk. So I will be... We could hold a little competition to get the postcode for hawk-eyed viewers there, listeners even.
Oh, dear. I did not expect you to go there, I have to say. And that sort of trumps my...
Glasgow.
That sort of trumps my Street View anecdote, which I'm not even going to go into because it's nowhere near as good as that one.
It's not, is it, Paul?
No, it really isn't. And it's not even me, so I can't, it's not even as if it's I can go down that road. But on the point earlier, the fighting words that came out of Mr. I was actually just going to call you Mr. Streak there, which actually would have been somewhat related to Rody.
We're tying into lots of interesting things here now, I must say.
Now wash your hands.
Something like that.
So, so you just, we were discussing market share there, and that actually moves us quite nicely on our next story. Which is, it does. Assuming we move the stories around somewhat. So iOS is back in the lead in the US over Android. I mean, it's always going to be a moving target in the same way that Chrome for a day last month was beating IE in the browser share. But, you know, we should take these small victories.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I question some of these numbers here, because essentially all they're saying is in a survey polled of 30,000 mobile subscribers, they found that Apple happened to be higher than Android. And so these things are always a bit... I don't know. They're always a bit woolly for me, com score and hit wise and all that kind of stuff.
But then when have Apple ever given a toss about market share? No, I mean, they've true. Always been by far the underdogs in every single market sector that they're in, pretty much. Yeah. And it's never bothered them. It's quality over quantity, isn't it?
Yeah, except tablets, of course.
Except those, apart from the ones they're now dominant in.
But do they care? I mean, as long as they're selling enough money so as that Tim Cook has one of those big kind of Scrooge McDuck type money vats, as long as they're selling enough to produce one of those, then it doesn't really matter whether they're market leaders. I see your point. It's a fair point.
Yeah, and that seems, yeah. If I'm reading this right, it's just that market share in the period. So over three months, they're saying they've sold more phones than Android. So the overall installed base is going to be completely different. And of course, you know, nobody includes things like iPod touches and these things in any case. So the comparisons are somewhat meaningless.
They are. I mean, I did find it quite interesting that it was the 3 months that did not include a new iPhone. And as far as I could, looking into it, as far as I could see, that had never happened before, other than the very early days when Android was but a character on Star Trek.
But then, all these statistics and numbers are meaningless, really, aren't they? I mean, I've got the largest market share of arses on the seat that I'm sitting on at the moment, you know? If I've got a monopoly on arses on this particular seat, it doesn't really mean anything, does it?
Yeah.
Other than I might want to lose some weight or just share my seat.
Yeah, yeah. I used to run the web analytics team for a major bank. Very briefly, because then they realised they couldn't count. But I had a great phrase that I used to use quite regularly. And in these kind of things, there's lies, and statistics. It's very true. You can make any number read in any way. It just depends on how you lay it out. I'm glad I don't work there anymore because possibly just giving something away.
That's positively wildy in there, Paul.
On a slight side note, I would say if you're interested in things like market share statistics, each to their own. If you're interested, you're probably already reading it. But if you think you might be interested, there's a fantastic blog by a guy called Horace Didieu called Asimco, where he drills into all kinds of market share statistics and things and draws some interesting conclusions about who's doing what in the mobile industry, how much money people are making, stuff like that.
What's the? Do you have the URL? You can pop in the Skype window, and we can pop in the show notes.
Yeah, I think it's just asimco.com. I'll put it in the Skype window just now.
Cool.
Actually, I'd like to point out that Ian's on commission.
He doesn't even sell anything on the website. Come on.
It sounds brilliant just to read passages from as pillow talk with perhaps a sexy lady friend or gentleman friend, if you prefer.
Have you ever seen the TED talk around piracy mathematician? It's completely off topic here entirely, but
that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah, I don't remember the chap's name, but it's only about. I mean, it's not even a 5-minute talk, is it? I think it's only about 3 or 4 minutes or something, but it's very funny.
Yeah, 3 to 4 minutes. That sounds right.
Yeah, it's very funny. Look it up if you get a chance. It's a TED talk. I think it was just from TED, the last TED. My apologies, Roddy. He apparently is not enjoying that video, so we'll move on.
Okay.
Well, I like it, and that's all that matters. And I'm the host, so we will talk about what I want to talk about. Siri coming to the iPad and iOS 6. Now, we did touch on this the last time, primarily because there is not a huge amount of new solid rumors come out, but I honestly still don't get the reason for putting Siri on an iPad. I mean, it comes with, you know, voice recognition for writing emails and stuff like that. What else do we need?
We need a slight tangent. I think we mentioned this briefly last time, but I want Siri on my Mac. I think the thing is that the phone, I can almost see with a phone, it's tiny, it's portable, you might be jogging, you might be drowning in your car and have your hands tied behind your back in some kind of strange subaquatic motorized sex game. I don't know, but the just being able to do little things on your phone, I understand that. On your iPad, I think that's more because it's a sort of in-between device. I tend to have a free hand with that. I'm not feeling it. But with my Mac, where I'm actually properly multitasking, doing loads of things at once, just be able to hit a hot key or a hot corner and tell my Mac to do something while I'm, you know, rattling off an email would be brilliant.
Yeah.
If I'm just sending an email to my mum and I press the Siri button and I say, Siri, murder a vicar, and it goes and does it. Brilliant.
Or sends a text message through iMessage to somebody. Just putting that other option there.
I'm not sure if we'll see it on the iPad personally. I think purely because they've had difficulties getting Siri to work reliably on just the 4S to date. To put it out on in, for example, iOS 6, and you know, it might not work on every device, but if it works on a whole other class of device, that's still going to massively increase the load on their servers. I'm not sure if they're ready for that yet, to be honest. But the flip side is, if they can put it on an iPad, there's no reason not to. It doesn't.
But they've sort of put it on the new iPad already. So there's a partial implementation on the new iPad. So why would they do half and then not the rest?
Well, I think that's all it needs. I mean, I would argue that I don't really need all the other functionality. You know, the main things that I use Siri for, and I mentioned this last time, was to time for cooking chips in the oven, and there isn't a clock on the iPad. Well, there is, but there isn't like a timer thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just don't see the logic in it. I'm kind of cool with it just being for writing emails, for writing the odd blog post, taking notes and stuff like that.
If there is a Siri API, you need the full version of Siri and not just the voice recognition dictation stuff in order to take advantage of it. And, you know, that is going to come sooner or later. We don't know in what form, obviously, but say it comes at WWDC next week. They'll want to make that available to as many devices as possible, I should think.
That is true. So you can do all sorts of groovy things with it then, I suppose. Let's
just hope that they increase the amount of bandwidth they've got available, because you know, a lot of people are reporting Siri problems with its performance, and if then all these other devices are opened up to it, it's going to be carnage, isn't it?
Have any of you seen the change of form factor photos that have appeared for iPhone 5, or possibly the new iPhone, or whatever they're going to call it?
Alleged, yes.
Well, there's one thing, and I'm going to have a really quick beef about this, because I was beefing about it earlier today in my mind. It was another one of those bathroom moments when I'm thinking about things a bit too much. And I was thinking about, you know, we've discussed iOS 6 and is it going to be called iOS 6? And I think and you think, yes, it is. But with the iPhone 5, it's not the iPhone 5, it's the iPhone 6 if it's anything. Because we've had, the iPhone 4 was called the iPhone 4 because it was the fourth one. 4S was 5 and this is 6. So let's not call it the iPhone 5 or I'm going to kill you all.
But we
just had a minor beef.
We had the iPhone, then we had the iPhone 3.
3G, yeah, sorry. Which is the second one.
Then we had the 3GS, which is the third one. Oh, that's right, actually. I never thought
And then
that.
The iPhone 4, which they called, because it's the fourth one, and everyone calls it the 4G, and it's not 4G. And then, so the 4S was the fifth. So this is technically the sixth iPhone.
No, they're going to go back and make it the iPhone 2.
Yeah, they could start giving them letters.
Well, no, then that's getting like Android. We could start, instead of calling it like Sweeties, we could call it like German desserts. Like, I don't know, I can't. That was going to be a really, really funny section there, if
really
I can remember
dirty
German
when you
dessert.
Say that.
Yeah, I don't know. Or unless they're going to go with like dogs, different types of dogs, if the main operating system's different types of cats. We could have Wolf. iPhone Wolf.
Poodle.
iPhone Labradoodle.
iPhone Camel.
A camel isn't a dog. We're just silly now. We've been sensible all the way through this podcast, and now you're ruining it for everyone.
Well, that's honestly my job, Rob.
But, sorry, yeah, that was my little beef. So let's talk about the case photographs for the new iPhone.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the first time that we've ever had such good resolution photographs? And you know, we've had rumors in the past, and we've had bits and things like that. And other than obviously the 4 that came out and was found in a bar, we've never had this level of rumors that look like the real thing this far away from our usual iPhone launch.
These look pretty legit too, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think the thing is that previously we've had, it's been a lot of circumstantial stuff. So it's case designs, you know, it's third-party covers. And from that, we're deducing what it's going to look like. Or, yeah, the iPhone 4 was completely leaked. Some guy got hammered and left it on a bar. Mm. But with this one, these are look like production actual components. And while, yeah, we've had SIM card trays before, and everyone gets really excited because it's a SIM card tray from the new phone. It's the internal ribbon cable from the new iPhone.
I saw that on one of the news sites. I was like, new SIM card tray discovered. I was like, these news sites have jumped the shark.
New
no
SIM
one cares.
Card.
No one cares about the SIM card thing.
So it looks, We've seen it. It looks legit. So what do we think of it? And I mean, I don't want to go wildly off the iOS thing into hardware here, but do we like it? Do we not like it? There's a white one and a black one.
I'm not convinced. There's a lot in there that doesn't quite seem very Apple-like. Just the details that kind of make me go, So one of the things, if you look at the photo, there's one of the photos that kind of shows the front and the back. And the front seems to be raised from the kind of metal strip that goes around the edge of the phone. But the back seems to be flush with the strip. And that seems like a very un-Apple thing to do. The other thing that kind of bugs me a bit that seems to have a lack of attention to detail compared to other products is so it looks like the body of the phone is built with an aluminium unibody like the laptops and the iPad. But the quality of the machining on the inside seems to be very low compared to, for example, the iPad 2 machining, which is beautifully smooth on the inside. If you've ever been to iFixit and seen their teardowns, the inside of the iPad 2 cases just looks like the outside. It's incredibly smooth. So it's possible that's because these are prototypes, but they don't really look like prototypes. They look more like cases than prototype cases to me. So I'm not completely convinced that this is the real thing, but it's certainly very plausible.
But then the thing is, okay, we've seen the hardware, and the hardware is maybe a little bit off topic for this podcast, but I think the thing that this dictates, we mentioned this a little bit before, is it looks like it's a 16:9 ratio device. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be properly widescreen, it's going to be taller in portrait, and this is going to have an impact on, as we mentioned a bit last week, on how you're going to have to code for iOS and how developers are going to have to present their apps.
Yeah, but that kind of goes against something that Tim Cook said at the All Things D thing again. And one of his phrases was, one phone, one resolution.
I can almost envisage the new iPhone launch and, you know, later on in the year where it just says, you know, Steve's gone now, baby. Tim's your new daddy. Here it is and it's longer. I'm referring to the phone, obviously. It's a longer form factor.
Is this where I'm supposed to mention that Tim has a huge package, you know?
Well, no, he apparently didn't take advantage of all his package.
Are you trying to pull us back onto his taking advantage of his share package?
I would never suggest any such thing.
Okay, so he didn't take advantage of... Right, okay. Moving back onto the hardware, on. Yeah. I have three issues with it, and I'm particularly on the 95 Mac teardown photographs. On the top one, and really only on the white one here, my first issue is that the middle section that, as far as I understand it, is kind of a more plasticky thing. It looks like a different colour, and it looks like beige, and that just doesn't seem very Apple-y to me.
Maybe they're going to go for animal print next.
The way I'm reading that model, that case, Paul, is that it's either plastic or glass top and bottom, and the back panel is aluminium, and it's just the reflection of the light on the aluminium. But that, again, doesn't seem very Apple-y to me. The fact that you've got these three different materials right next to each other, it seems quite strange.
The second thing I have is that I just don't buy the headphone jack being at the bottom of the phone. That just seems wildly bizarre to me because of the hundreds of thousands of different iPhone, iPad, iPod docks out there that are going to be useless if you're trying to stick your headphones in while the thing's charging. It just seems bizarre to me. And also moving into this mini USB adapter.
But Paul, if they are changing the dock connector, then all the new docks will be different anyway. So
yeah,
they can work something around that. I think that the headphone jack at the bottom is the most plausible part of this, actually, in a lot of ways. Because when you make the screen bigger, when you cut down the real estate at the top and the bottom of the screen, you cut down the amount of space there is for components. So because you've got switches and cameras and things up at the top as well, I think there's possibly more space at the bottom to put the headphone jack in than there is at the top now.
But my Scotty Vest jacket won't work anymore. My phone will be upside down when it's in the... I've got one of the ones that's got the pockets just... It's got like the plastic in the pockets that you can still use your iPhone through the pocket. And if it's upside down, it's going to be crap.
I've only got one word to say in response to that, Paul. Nightmare.
Yeah, Paul, I feel your pain. I've still got a dock for the iPhone 3G that doesn't fit my 4. It's terrible.
Oh, it's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
You know, I got one of those wireless little dock things for your iPhone so you can use in the bathroom so it doesn't need to be plugged in. It just uses the magic of physics for it to make the sound louder. It comes out kind of tinny.
What are you talking about?
Isn't that big porcelain thing that stands on the floor and you just connect it somehow or something?
No way, it was plastic.
Okay.
I think it was Garmin made them.
Griffin thing, isn't it?
Griffin, yes.
What did I say? I had one. It was all right. It wasn't a great big improvement, but just for listening to little bits of radio or whatever in bed, as you had your ear pressed right against it, it was very good.
Oh, no, wait a minute. There's the Griffin Air Curve.
That's the thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, but this one was the Griffin Air Curve Play, which was a new one that came out for the iPhone 4S. And I actually think it was really good. I only really ever used it kind of in the bathroom when I was having a shower so I could listen to my music and make it louder. And mm-hmm. I didn't really want, like, a plug. It's actually, it was very, very good. But that wouldn't... I don't know why I started this conversation, because it still would work with the new design.
You're wasting our time and you're wasting everyone else's time, Paul.
Sorry about that.
Time you took a long, hard look at your life and made some changes.
So that's the news section.
Yeah, you've ruined that, didn't you? Right, we move on.
Moving swiftly on.
The next section, I think we should have a competition that's going to have absolutely no prizes. So what should we call this section? It's essentially the support section where we answer your questions around your iOS devices. We had a suggestion last week. It didn't really... Some people liked it, some people didn't. I was kind of nonplussed about it. But we've had some other suggestions. So we went with... There was the suggestion of the Genius Pub. A suggestion is coming of the Genie's Arse as this section. But let's open a little Twitter quiz. Tweet any one of us with some suggestions of what we can call this section, and the winner will have the joy of having this section named that thing that you said. But anyway, we're going to move on to the sports section.
We're leaving ourselves dangerously open to having this section called something horrible, aren't we?
Well, we don't have to agree to it.
Yeah, but we'll be honour bound to our, you know, our dutiful listeners.
Yeah,
they're wonderful, wonderful, and completely above board, and not disgusting at all suggestions.
We could call this, like for example, we wanted something a little bit more interesting than just calling it, like, Norman or something.
I like that already. This works.
That sounds good.
Anyway, right, okay, moving on to the support section. So, we actually have some support questions this week from our happy listeners, and one piece of follow-up from Ian on his R2-D2 question. So, first and foremost, sorry, I was reading the wrong one there.
What was that noise?
So, keeping your music on your iOS device while also using iTunes Match. Now, I suffer from this problem. To the point where I am very, very close to just dropping iTunes Match. I accept I'm not going to get my money back. I'm just going to walk away because it is that bloody annoying. And I'm going to go to Spotify or something. I had an issue the other night, and this is the crux of the problem for me. I was sitting watching a movie the other night. It was a Garden State, which is... it was an interesting movie. Anyway, I quite liked the soundtrack. Some of the songs in the movie were quite interesting. So I downloaded the album. Roddy, did you have the gall there for a laugh at my choice in music there?
Me? No, heavens no. Would I laugh at your choice in music?
I go back to...
Would I do a thing like that? Would I openly mock somebody's terrible choice in music? Paul, looking at you.
I don't think you have any leg to stand on, Garden State.
I'm looking at you and I'm pointing. Gloria Estefan is a respected musician in the Latino community, so, you know, watch it.
Anyway, I downloaded the Garden State soundtrack.
Sorry, carry on.
It's good. Anyway, downloaded it, all great. Got up the next morning, jumped into my car. I'm really looking forward to listening to this album, and it wasn't there. Every single track had a download icon beside it because of iCloud. So
I'd say it was doing a favour there.
The point is that I was...
We don't want technology to be an arbiter of taste. We want it to be helpful.
Exactly. What a great way of putting it, Ian. Thank you.
So, exactly. You're stuck. You're stranded. You're without music because every single thing is a flipping download
even
icon.
Even though it downloaded after I bought the thing.
So what you can do is that there are two additional problems to that. The first one is technically you could download it, but to do that either you need Wi-Fi or to do it over cellular, you need to enable cellular. It eats your cellular data plan.
Yeah.
And because you live on the moon, then you hardly get any signal. So do you want to hear my fantastic sort of get around this kind of thing that might work, maybe?
As long as the solution is not cancel your iTunes Match account, I'm good. Go.
No, I got around it because I found my... Sorry, carry on.
Say cellular again, because I want to hear you say cellular.
I can't say that word.
Maybe you should recognize you're in the UK and we say mobile here.
Mobile. I can't do that one either. So what I did is I found myself on the bus the other day. I had no music. Everything was on iTunes Match. I'd actually burst through my monthly allowance with O2, which was bad. I went back home, and what I did is you turn off iTunes Match in your... it was an iPhone in this case. Turn it off in your iPhone settings, which is in settings on your iPhone. Can't quite remember where, but it's in there. I think it's under music, and I'm looking now, and it's in music, iTunes Match, top option. So I switched that off, plugged in my iPhone, and then in iTunes, I went back to the syncing bit, and it lets you sync your music. Yeah. So what I did, instead of just syncing randomly, I made a smart playlist called iPhone, because I have many gigabytes of excellent Gloria Estefan music. And I made a little smart playlist, and what it did is it only looked for music that was not various artists, you know, so those big compilation albums. Mm-hmm. It was stuff that I hadn't skipped more than like three times, or hadn't skipped recently, stuff that I hadn't played in a while. And I made a maximum size for that playlist of, I think it was 8 gigabyte. So I synced that over, so I had a good selection of music. Let it sync, back on the phone, re-enable iTunes Match, and then you've got all the stuff from your playlist or your synced stuff on your phone, and anything else you want, you just download.
That would work, but I think ultimately
it works.
Right, okay, sorry. That does work, but that still requires forethought. What I really want is a halfway house between what we had with iTunes and what we have with iTunes Match, in that I can plug my phone in, sync the playlist or two that I regularly listen to, Garden State, and then when I want extra songs, I'm completely okay with, you know, if I want to go back to my back catalogue of Elvis Presley hits, I'm quite happy to go back and use iTunes Match to pull those down on my phone. But the stuff that I want to be able to sync first, straight away there. If I download an album, I want it to be there. You know, but the funny thing is as well, even though this problem, I managed to kind of get around it, fudge around it, get to work and use their Wi-Fi and stuff like that. Inevitably, whenever my daughter buys some piece of nonsense from a gentleman named Tiny Tempa or something similar, it automatically appears on shuffle in my phone without me doing anything. So I actually think iTunes Match hates me.
I think what you need to do then, Paul, is either never go anywhere ever that doesn't have Wi-Fi reception, or just realize that, Paul, your life, and I mean your life in particular, is just a series of haphazard coincidences that you have no control over, and just face up to that and get on with things.
Okay. Or will do.
Is no spoon.
Yeah, what he said.
Right, okay, next one. Enable, disable external keyboard quickly. Now, this came in basically the problem is, and I suffer from this too, and I believe, Roddy, you also suffer from this one that's coming. And basically what the problem is, careful, what the problem is certainly for me, if I'm sitting working on my iPad with my Apple Bluetooth keyboard, and then I wander off, pick up my iPad, and go and sit in the living room, and leave my Bluetooth keyboard up the stairs, I can't use the keyboard on the iPad. I have to then come back
up. Because it's still linked, isn't it? Still linked, yep.
I have to come back up the stairs and switch it off. So
what I do, which isn't a good way of doing it, is just go into Bluetooth in settings and switch it off. But that is not intuitive.
That's exactly what I do too, I have to say.
Well, I found, because that requires 4 taps to do that, there is an app, and it's bizarrely called Bluetooth, and this is the way I get around it. It's on my home screen, and when you open that app, it actually just gives you the on-off switch for Bluetooth right there.
Oh, I thought this was going to be so much more elegant. I know it's less taps, but it's... Oh, that's on Apple. And go, Steve is angry with you now, Paul.
I don't think this app would have gotten approved under the Steve reign.
But then Ghost Steve might be angry with you, but Ghost Steve didn't put a simpler way in the first place, so it's his own lookout, really.
Yeah, well, so that's 4 taps down to 2 taps. And the interesting thing about this app as well is it's actually a chat client over Bluetooth as well.
That's a dangerous... Right, okay, yeah. So we're going to all start toothing now, are we? Is this... You'll be on the train feeling a little frisky, Paul. Is this... I know how these things work out.
dear. It's interesting because I downloaded it purely to just get the on-off switch. I think it's actually 69 pence as well. It's an expensive on-off switch.
Considering it's saving you like two taps, yeah.
Well, if I think about the amount of times that I've required those two taps and then divided that by 69 pence, it probably was only, you know, like, what, 40 pence a tap or something.
Do you, I don't know if you've read the Walter Isaacson book about Magic Steve, the happy wizard, but there's a great quote in it, and I'm afraid I can't remember the exact quote, and it's a shame because it was so good, but about Jobs's attitude to death, and he said, he reckons when you die, it's like someone flips an off switch. And he basically says that's why I don't like putting off switches on my products. And I thought that was a nice little. The actual quote's better. But then talking about taps and settings, how many bloody off switches are there in iOS in the settings? It's like a sort of Steve mortuary or cemetery or something.
Yeah, there is a lot actually.
There really are, isn't it? It should be on or not on rather than on or off.
Not on. That's a very positive way to look at it. Yeah.
Is that not a bit of judgment creeping in there?
It's just not on.
Yeah.
Leave it.
It's just not acceptable.
Let's talk about something else.
Yes.
Now.
So related to that, external keyboard shortcuts in iOS, existing ones and painfully absent ones. This was one that you added in, Roddy.
It is. I mean, I sadly don't have a solution as such, but as a brief discussion, it is driving me mad that I can do basic things. You know, I can do Command C, Command V, and Command A to, you know, copy, paste, select all. So working with text, you know, I can select with my finger or using the OS X sort of shortcuts by holding down shift and moving the cursor around and stuff. But it's so frustrating that you get so far just using what seem to be really common OS X keyboard shortcuts, and then you try and do another basic one, it doesn't work. And then there's no way, even with the Apple wireless keyboard, I know it's not the iPad keyboard dock thing, but there's nothing to make it just to go to the home screen or anything like that.
Yeah,
I missed that.
The only one that I found that's vaguely handy is that if for some reason you want to bring up the virtual keyboard, you can press the eject button on your normal keyboard, it brings up the virtual keyboard, so you can have two keyboards and be like Rick Wakeman with your iPad.
But it doesn't disable the other one. I always thought that doing that would actually switch off the external one, but it doesn't. You can still use both of them, so you can kind of go between the two of them.
But you need the two keyboards, otherwise you can't play all the music for King Arthur and the Knights of Camelot and on ice as Rick Wakeman in your imagination.
I think a really obvious one that they've missed out. This isn't really a support thing; it's more of a gripe about external keyboards.
But it vexes me, Paul. Yeah,
is the Command Tab? That should be such an obvious one.
Oh yeah, that is an obvious one. It's so obvious I didn't even think of it.
Yeah, that should bring up all the other screens. Interestingly, actually, while we're on that subject, it's not relating to external keyboard, but I just recently discovered four finger swipe on the iPad.
Oh yeah,
I didn't even know that existed. It's awesome.
I knew it existed, but I keep I forget about it, and then I do it by accident, and then I go, "Oh, brilliant!" And then I use it for like 5 minutes and forget about it again, and then it's a month before I remember again.
No, I use it regularly because I generally pull together the show notes and my notes for the shows for the podcast on the train in the morning, and it's really handy because I just have Safari open in one and my note taking app in the other, and I just swipe between the two of them, copying and pasting quotes. It's really handy.
It's really hard to believe that there are actually notes in the background behind the show. Listeners will be just stunned. No way, they have notes.
It's true. We have notes.
Well, we have notes, and certainly if you guys are like me, I also have a subset of notes that's actually got quotes and numbers and details around all the different things that we're talking about.
Goodness, I just try to remember that stuff. It doesn't work.
If any listeners want a little behind the scenes glance here, I've got a Google Docs show notes open now. So if you just have a look, there they are. There you go. You're like one of us now. You're in the gang.
Right. A problem with 5.1.1, where Fetch doesn't appear to be working in some situations. I don't think it's everybody. But basically, to get Fetch to work, particularly on your iCloud email, you need to open Mail and do a send and receive. Now, this one was actually a listener that sent this one in. And coincidentally, I've had the same problem. And I looked into it. And I honestly can't find a solution. As far as I can tell, well, the only solution I actually came across, sorry, I should say, was to reset the phone, doing the old hold down the home button, hold down the power button until the Apple logo appears, basically. And that didn't make a blind bit of difference, but it was in an Apple support forum that was the way you fixed it. Any of the rest of you had this problem or found a solution for it?
Do you mean when you're talking about fetch email, have you got it set to, you know, every 5 minutes or something?
Yeah, or 15.
Because to save battery, I go in and manually, I do just go in and manually refresh it, so I don't have that problem, but... That's a tricky one.
It is. I mean, looking into it, all I can find is there was two Apple support forums that had very similar details, so I'm assuming it came from somebody at Apple. It was almost an identical word-for-word post. And apparently it's an intermittent bug with 5.1.1 that will be fixed in the next one, and it only affects customers who have iCloud email addresses. So essentially, it's an iCloud thing. It's a problem with 5.1.1, but it doesn't seem to affect everybody. It's just a subset of users.
Fascinating.
Well, there you go.
I don't have an iCloud email address, so that's why I haven't seen it.
Actually, that's possibly it. If I did have an iCloud email address and I wanted to write a blog post complaining about this and I didn't have a domain name or a website to do such a thing, does anybody know of a fantastic service out there that allowed me to make my own website to moan about this type of thing and buy domain names?
Whatever could that be, Paul?
Yes, do tell.
Well, it's UK2, of course. They've been a supporter of the British Tech Network for over 3 years, and they're fantastic. They provide many, many, many services. The best way to get a hold of them, and actually the best way, and what I mean by that is for us, to know that we sent you, as in the British Tech Network sent you, if you can enter the britishtechnetwork.com, click on the link on the left-hand side, the UK2 link on the left-hand side, head over, fill your shopping basket with all the goodies that you want, DNS, domain names, VPN, servers, everything that you want. And then when you get to checkout, or everything that you need, I should say, when you get to checkout, you can use these voucher codes and it will do the following. If you pop in British Tech DNS, all one word, it gives you free DNS for 2 years. British Tech Domains gives you 20% off a domain name registration. British Tech VPN gives you 50% off your first month's VPN charges. British Tech Server gives you £50 off a gigabit server. That's on any contract length, but that's only online. That's an online-only deal. And finally, British Tech VPS gives you your first month free with a VPS server. British Tech are fantastic. They support the British Tech Network. They support us. They support all the other shows, all the fantastic shows in the British Tech Network. They're just awesome. So you should go over, go to British Tech Network, and head to see them. Gentlemen, do you have any picks this week?
I've got a pick. Can I do mine?
Yes, do yours.
I'm really excited.
Yeah,
you
cool.
Tell. I've been downloading loads and loads of stuff from Usenet. I found that on Usenet, which I've been using for ages, they have loads of open source software. But of course, a lot of this open source copyright free software is, you know, really big files. Like I like to download all the different Ubuntu distributions just for every single platform, just for fun, really. And I collect them all and give them names, and it's like they're my pets or my friends. So what I'm doing, I'm at work, and of course I've got my Mac at home switched on all the time because that's eco-friendly. And then I think, oh, brilliant, there's like a new Debian distribution that's come out and I've got to download it. But I'm at work where I'm supposed to be doing things, but don't tell them, but I actually just sit and don't work when I'm there. So I wanted a way to connect to my computer to download stuff. And I know there are a few torrent ways to do this, again, to download open source, non-copyright material. But I've recently switched to a thing called, and I'm going to get the name wrong, SABNZBD+.
I'm going to get that tattooed.
It's catchy, isn't it? But that's a great thing for downloading open source, non-copyright software from Usenet. It's actually more reliable than Panic Unison software. I've been using it for a while, and I found a thing called SAB Mobile on the App Store. With a little bit of tweaking, this can connect to your local install on your Mac of SABNZBD+, which I'm going to call Colin from now on for brevity. And it's great. It doesn't quite, not quite in keeping with, you know, the iOS user interface guidelines. It uses a few strange fonts, but it's great. You can search for all your non-copyright software. You can pick which ones to download. It shows you progress. The progress admittedly only updates every 15 seconds, but it's cool. You can see what's downloading at home. If something fails, you can find another one or restart it. Highly recommended. And I think it was £1 something. although I can't see it because I've bought it. So if anyone wants to look up SAP Mobile on their device and tell me how much it was, that'd be very helpful. So if you use Usenet, highly recommend SAB, NZBD Plus or Colin, and SAB Mobile on your phone or iPad.
Superb, good pick. Ian, do you have anything for us?
I do indeed. Going a little outside the usual sphere today because I wanted to recommend an app that you can't get yet. But it's not just an app.
Well, that's a bit rubbish.
You're breaking all the rules, Ian.
I know. I'm sorry. But when you hear what it is, you might forgive me. You might not. You might hate me forever. I don't know. It's a Kickstarter project that's captured my attention this week. It's called Collusion. And it's an iPad app which lets you sketch. But it comes with a very high sensitivity pen that also stops the screen from receiving input from your hands if you want to rest your hand on the screen. Now, there are a few other pens out there that do that as well. But the interesting thing about this one is the software, as you sketch, updates a kind of common version of that sketch in the cloud. So you can sketch on the iPad, and everyone else with the same software can see your sketching as you're sketching as well. So this has just been funded on Kickstarter. So you can buy the whole package for $129. So you get the app, the pen, and access to the service for that, which is a bit of a saving on what it's going to cost at retail. But it's one of the most interesting bits of software I think I've seen for the iPad. Particularly the collaboration stuff looks very good.
Collusion, did you say?
Collusion, yes.
Even the name's got a touch of mystique about it, doesn't it?
Hmm. Absolutely.
I think I could safely bet £10 on what 80% of people who get that will draw first.
Well, you do. Yeah, actually, it's an important point, Roddy. To get the most out of it, you do need a friend with it as well.
I'm going to do a little bonus pick here just because I think it's awesome. If you go to the Kickstarter website, have you noticed the scissors down the bottom of the Kickstarter website?
I'm going to look now.
Yeah.
Right now on the internet.
Yeah, if you go to Kickstarter.com, right down the bottom of the page, above where it kind of has all their follow us on Twitter and all that kind of nonsense, there's a little dotted line with a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Yes? Click on the scissors once.
Oh, I don't see the scissors.
Maybe you've got some JavaScript nonsense switched off or something.
Oh, I probably do. Right. You guys carry on and I'll just... Yep.
Click the scissors, click them again, click them a third time, and the bottom of the page drops off.
You're kidding.
And is replaced by a transparency pattern.
Yeah,
there
it's
is
fantastic.
Just nothing there.
Sorry, I was somewhat off topic. I'm going to give that as a little bonus pick from me there.
See where they are. Yeah, that's very good. Right, I'm clicking the scissors. I'm miles behind everyone else. They've done it already. Oh, that's funny. They've done that on the internet to be funny. That's good.
Robert, do you have a pick for us?
I do indeed. I have found the lovely little app called SID Player. And for anyone who doesn't know what a SID is, it's a little sound file from the old Commodore 64 home computer.
Ah.
So you can play the lovely old soundtracks from the games you loved or hated back in the day, but today on your modern iOS device. All free. Well, the songs are. The app actually cost... What's the second tier in the UK? £1?
There's 99 pence and you've got 79 pence, I think.
Okay, well, it should be the upper one of those in that case, at least.
99 pence, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, cool.
I was rather hoping that SID Player was going to be an app that just played Sid James's laughter without any pause or stop or quit functionality.
I might not be British, but I know who Sid James is and I know his laugh, and that would actually be kind of cool.
That kind of laugh he'd do when Charles Hawtrey fell over something, I think.
My pick, moving on. It's actually all connected in through a web app, app that just came out on the Mac App Store a couple of weeks ago, and an iPad app and an iPhone app for that matter. And it's actually the note taking app I alluded to earlier. I use it for keeping our show notes and things like that. And it's called Simple Note. It is a superb little, exactly as it says in the tin, it's just for notes. There's nothing fancy about it. You can't change fonts or anything like that. You can basically have capital letters, spaces, and that's about it. The app for iPad and iPhone is free in the App Store. You have to create an account on, I think it's simplenoteapp.com, but I can't quite remember. But basically, the app prompts you when you first of all log into it. It's free again. And it keeps your notes synced between all your devices. So you've also got Just Note on Just Notes on the Mac App Store. Simple Note on your iPad and iPhone, and then Simple Note on the web. You can write notes on any three of those platforms, and they automatically sync between the three. I use it for all the show notes, for all the shows that we do here. I also use it for keeping quick notes about blog posts that I'm kind of throwing together, and also shopping lists for when I'm going away to buy food and other such sustenance. So free app, Simple Note, it's fantastic. You don't actually, I should have said, you don't actually have to have just notes on the Mac. You can just use it as an iPad, iPhone app, but it's a fantastic little thing.
Yeah, and that's it. There are a few other Mac apps that are Simple Note compatible. I use one called Notational Velocity, or I use the fork called Envy Plus, which is also Simple Note compatible. Very good app.
Mm. Yes, it's an awesome little service. So cool. And that was everything. I, a couple of things I just want to cover off before we move on here. The British Tech Network Bash is on the 5th of July. Tickets are £20, but I'm promised that you will receive a fresh £20 note when you arrive there. Purely, the ticket price is just to ensure that people do actually turn up and they don't buy more food than is required. You head over to britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk and you can book yourself a ticket. They're selling fast. It's going to be a fantastic day. Andy Anatko is coming over from his little house. He's coming across. Don McAllister coming along. Of course, Ewan's going to be there. It's just going to be a day of boozing and recording all the shows back to back. It's going to be an awesome day. So come along, come and get your ticket. BritishTechBash.eventbrite.co.uk. You're not going to be let in unless you have a ticket. And I believe Ewan's quite a big chap. Name's not down, you're not getting in. If you have enjoyed us, which I enjoy this regularly, but if you have enjoyed us, please, please, please head over to iTunes and give us a review and give us an appropriate star rating. I got a row on the web show the other day for asking for 5-star ratings because apparently that's frowned upon. So I'm just going to say, give us a rating.
I'd also say, when rating us, please bear in mind that this podcast is pretty much all I've got left. So I don't want that to sway your voting at all, but you know, just be honest. Rate it how you feel it. Yeah. I'm very sad. I'm crying now.
Please head across and rate us. We really appreciate it. And we do read all the stuff. And we do take on board everything that's said on there. You can contact us by emailing us at thebritishtechnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow the network British Tech News on Twitter. You can get me, Paul Wheatley, on Twitter. That's Paul, Wheatley. Robert, where can they get you?
Oh, you can just find me at my website, streakmachine.com, or on Twitter, @streakmachine, all in one word.
Ian, where can we find you?
I'm also on Twitter. I'm ManiacYak, which is ManiacYak.
And finally, Roddy, where can we get you?
I'm Roddy on Twitter, but it's R for Romeo, O for Oscar, D for Delta, T for Tango, and I for India. Because it's stupidly spelt, because it's a stupid name.
It's all his mum's fault.
What are you saying about my mum?
And we'll leave it there. thanks very much, gents, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. Good night.